that. So this week you're going to start noticing something, that all of these webinars that I've been doing on different types of writing structures, they build. So I'd love to hear from those of you that are here today, which of the past webinars in this series on the article nuts and bolts you guys have caught. So let me know in the chat box which you guys have attended already. And for to remind you guys, the different ones that are available or that we've done in the past, or there's one on the news briefs. That was the very first one that we did. There was one on front of book roundup pieces. That was one that we did 2 weeks back. And then the one that we did last week was on trend pieces. So let me know in the chat box which one of those or which ones of those you guys have joined us for. If you've caught us live, then I'll probably just recognize you, but some of you have caught them on the recap as well. So the reason that I ask is that you're going to start to notice today that I'm actually going to take the format that we talked about last week for trend pieces, which several of you caught. So we're going to take that format and I'm going to show you how almost the same format works for these business profiles. And you're going to see also, and you've probably noticed in the last couple of webinars, that what we talked about with the news briefs, if you didn't catch that one was really kind of a fundamental in terms of how short pieces are structured. So when we talked about roundups, a lot of that was about taking news briefs and making lots of mini news briefs in the structure of a roundup, right? So like I said, as we talk this week about structure, we're going to talk about how the business profile structure reflects what we talked about with trends. But first, I want to talk to you about why business profiles, what business profiles, what do we mean about a business profile? Well, like, what does that even translate to in the context of travel writing? Okay. And besides that, we're going to, once we kind of talk about that, we're going to look at how business profiles revolve around something that is should be fundamental in all of your pitches, but is the most important in business profiles. It's really the fundamental building block of your business profiles. And so even though you do need to have it in every single piece, this is one where you can't get away with not having it in your piece, and especially in your pitch. And then I pulled up, like I did last time, now that we're not just talking about short pieces, I've pulled up some different examples for you guys in a lot of different lengths. So I've pulled several short ones that we can read completely together. And then I've also pulled some longer examples of business profiles, because not that I want to go through these long ones in a lot of detail, because it's hard for everybody to read them on the screen. And obviously I can't read you like a 2,500 word piece and have us analyze it all together in an hour and talk about all these basic things, but because I want to show you how what we're talking about translates on a larger scale. So I've got a couple feature length things, or close to feature length things, that I've pulled as well to kind of show you how these accordion into something longer than the shorter ones. So then at the end, we're going to look at what we're talking about coming up in this month, which we're finally going to talk about taxes, which I know a lot of you guys are excited about, and is like a reminder for me that I need to do my taxes as well, which I'm sure is the case for a lot of you. Let's get into it. Let's look more at these business profiles. So how many of you guys, when I say business profile, I want to know, what does that mean to you guys? Like, what do you think of? What type of article does that spring up for you? Because there's different types of profiles. And I'm going to look at the different types of profiles in a minute. And I don't want to kind of give that away before hearing what you guys think. But I want to hear from you. Let me know in the chat box, what type of article or what subject matter do you imagine is encapsulated by these business profiles? Because the thing is, I was doing some, obviously I was doing some reading before this call to get ready for the call, but also I was looking through a number of airline magazines to pick out the articles that we were going to look at today. And I tried to choose some different magazines this week because I feel like we've been using United, American, Delta, in part because those are really good ones, because they all have pretty solid front of book sections, and a lot of us are familiar with those airlines or the destinations that they go to and the routes that they fly. But I wanted to look this week at some different magazines to really show you how these appear everywhere, and they often appear in ways that we wouldn't think about, especially in the travel context. So In terms of a business profile, I think Carrie made a good point here about that it often seems like it's about the people, right? That's really common that there is something that's a profile of an individual who has a business or who has started a movement or something like that. And that is a very common type of profile, but that's more of a person profile. People also call it an individual profile than a business profile. And Elizabeth had a great point here. And the type of profile that she's mentioned, she said profiles would include location, services, and information on the owners. That's more of a type of profile that you would see in a visitor's guide or maybe in a listing kind of setting. But the type of business profiles that we're talking about, this is why they are kind of like the greatest secret. The type of profiles that we're talking about are taking a place like a hotel or a museum or a single shop and writing a piece about just that one place. That is not what Elizabeth said. It's not necessarily talking about the services or the background of the business. What the business profiles that we're going to look at and that make up a large, I would say like often at least 40% of the articles in a magazine, up to 80%. The profiles that we're going to look at that make up this large percentage are a variant of a trend piece in a way. So one of the reasons that I asked you guys earlier which webinars in the series you had caught, and I mentioned that this was going to tie into trend pieces and that everything keeps building upon itself, is because this concept that we talked about last week in terms of trends is very important for these business profiles. So the way that a business profile differs from something that's just about a single product or service, or that's the story of the individual who started the business, the way that it differs is that it's really a microcosm of a trend in a lot of ways. And so what I mean by that, when we talked about trends last week, we talked about how a trend is something that is typically somewhat established. Most magazines won't write about it until it has some legs, until there's a certain recognition that this thing is happening, like food carts or farm to table or grass to glass, which is like craft distilleries. You know, there's craft breweries. We talked about a lot of different trends last week and how those tend to appear in print as a trend piece once there is a momentum. But what a business profile does is it essentially takes those people who are more at the tip of the spear of those trends that we looked at, who are doing something that is different and not being widely done, and profiles that quote unquote trend, but in the context of a specific business. So don't worry, we're going to look at a lot of examples if that didn't kind of immediately jump out to you as making sense. But this is kind of the framing for those of you who caught our trend piece breakdown last week, that the business profiles that we are going to look at, the business profiles that as travel writers we can just do tons of, are ones that take a business, and that business can be a lot of things. That business can be a shop, that business can be a service provider, that business can be a hotel, that business can be a tour operator, that business can be a manufacturer, that business can be a fashion designer, that business can be all sorts of things. But they are essentially doing something that could over time grow into a trend. It's the kind of thing that is new and interesting. And if you had enough examples of it, it would be a trend. But right now, it's just this business or just a couple businesses. So that little tweak in terms of not just explaining what a business is, what they provide, you know, how it got started, but thinking of a business profile as like a proto trend piece is the hook. That is the sticking point for people that keeps them from successfully pitching business profiles, which is a shame because the thing about business profiles, like I said, is that they make up a huge portion of what is appearing in magazines, really a huge portion. And so if you don't quite get how to pitch them, you're cutting yourself off from a lot of the articles that are opportunities for you as a freelancer to pitch in a magazine. But it's not just that you're cutting yourself off from those opportunities. It's that you're also underutilizing the research that you're doing on your trips. And in particular, you're underutilizing it in terms of not taking things that you've already heard about. So like interviews that you've done, places you visited, things like that, and getting the most mileage out of each of those little tidbits of information. So I mentioned this stat to you already. And so, yeah, so I said you can imagine these business profiles. I'm going to just write this in the chat box as the tip of the spear of what could be a new trend. And so I'll just use as an example that the one of the longer pieces that I said I had included for you guys, let's flip over and look at it for a second. One of these longer pieces is actually a feature, and it's one of these hybrid pieces, which happens quite often. And what I mean by hybrid piece is that it's a business profile and a feature and a little bit of another type of format mixed in. And that format is a quest piece. So if you haven't heard me talk about quest pieces before, we talked about this a lot when we were talking about features, but a quest piece is when an individual in the context usually of a long story sets out to find something. So this story that I have queued up and we'll circle back to is called Welcome to the Weird Hotel. As hotels become increasingly quote unquote smart, we travel to Japan to see how the latest in high-tech stays compares with a break in a traditional Ryokan inn. So this is a story where they are looking at hotels that are very, very high-tech, right? So it's not a trend piece in terms of profiling a trend of super high-tech hotels that's taking over the world or even taking over Japan, but it is profiling a few hotels that are in this movement, so to say. But that movement hasn't reached a saturation point yet where it would be called a trend. So this writer in a quest format, which means they have a goal that they're searching for, which is to see how they compare to a traditional inn in terms of having a Japanese experience, quote unquote, this writer is investigating by profiling these different establishments this proto trend, right? So this thing which is not yet big enough to be a trend. Chelsea had a great comment in here. She said she was reading Sunset Magazine last night, and I'd love to hear from you, Chelsea, later offline if that's the new version of Sunset or not, because we're waiting for the new one to come out. Sunset recently fired its entire staff for the second time in 2 years. For those of you that don't follow magazine news quite as closely as I do. And she said she noticed a lot of their content is business profiles, and that's super true. Sunset's a really good example of that in terms of one of these very major newsstand publications that you often think of as having a lot of service information. Service information in magazines, and again, service means kind of how-to or advice content. Service information in magazines often takes the form of business profiles. And this is a weird twist that you don't necessarily think of, but is one of the roadblocks that I see a lot of people who come from blogging have when they get into pitching magazines. Because today, a lot of service content or how-to or advice content has moved online. And so to differentiate themselves, one of the things that a lot of magazines have done is to do less of that or do it with a different slant. And that often ends up being a business profile. And so what that means is that, you know, rather than have a piece about, this is not made up, this is actually a thing, rather than have a piece about how to incorporate alpacas into your wedding because they're absolutely adorable and very photogenic and Instagrammy and well-behaved and the perfect little, you know, sideshow to have at your wedding, rather than have a how-to about that, they'll have a profile on somebody who is a business that specifically works for, around, bringing alpacas to weddings. She works with different alpaca farms in different areas, and she works with the venues, you know, to make sure that the alpacas have a place that they can, you know, eat and go to the bathroom and do their alpaca things that doesn't mess up the wedding and all of that stuff. So it's the servicey angle for the bride of incorporating this and what you need to know and all of that. But rather than sell it as a 15 things you need to know before bringing an alpaca to your wedding, it's, you know, profiling Susie, you know, Smith, who does this as a business, and all of her tips through this profile piece. Okay. So thanks for mentioning that, Chelsea. That's a really great point. So when people come into magazine writing, when they come into travel magazine writing, especially from writing online, whether it's more content writing, blogging for yourself, blogging for others. I used to be primarily a freelance blogger for other people. You think a lot in terms of these service pieces because you aren't profiling businesses in the writing that you're doing, because your writing is explicitly kind of for a business, either your own blog, which is a business, or a business that you're writing for, or something like that. But in journalism, this concept of the expert is huge. And I often see people kind of come into story ideas positioning themselves as the expert, positioning themselves as somebody who has experience with this particular topic, and they're going to bring that experience into the service piece or into the feature or whatever it is, and then kind of getting gobsmacked by the interview process, how many interviews they have to do that they're expected to do, the level of detail on different things that their editor is expecting. And that is because when you are writing for magazines, you as the writer are never the expert. But that's great because it means that you don't have to learn so much about different things. You don't have to become that expert. You can rely on other experts. And business profiles, if you're not familiar yet with that type of relying on other experts, business profiles are a really great way to get into that. As I mentioned in the blog post in the newsletter today, that if you're not so familiar yet with doing interviews and not just using them for the story at hand, but taking any interview and turning it into 5, 15, 25 other stories by pulling little bits out of it for different markets, business profiles are a great way to train yourself to do that while getting paid to produce pieces, okay? So we talked about how business profiles worked in travel writing kind of in the abstract in a couple different ways, but I just kind of want to summarize again that they appear in different sections. So I'm going to show you later when we look at the individual pieces. We're going to look at some very, very short things that are from both the front and the back of the book of different magazines, and also some departments, which are those things that are still in the front of the book before the features, but they're getting longer and they tend to fit into a certain rubriced, structured part of the magazine that appears in the same way every month. And then features. Business profiles can appear in any of these different magazine sections. And that's part of why they're so ubiquitous, because they're an article format that can accomplish all sorts of things. It can tell an inspiring story. It can tell an interesting story. It can touch on a trend. It can show something new, and it can give service information, all while relying on one expert. You don't have to do so many interviews. So it's a really great fodder for filling the pages of magazines, whether it's written by a freelancer or by a member of staff. These are things that are quick and easy for members of the magazine staff to do, just as well as they're quick and easy for you guys, okay? So just to unpack that a little bit further, I said that they can appear in the front, in the departments, in the features, and even in the back of the book. We haven't talked so much in our webinars, either in this article, Nuts and Bolts series, or more generally about the back of the book, which is everything that comes after the features, okay? So I'm going to write that in the chat box just so people have it. The back of the book, that's the term, not the back, as my typing previously said. The back of the book is everything after the features. Now, any of you guys that have ever picked up an airline magazine, I'm sure you're very familiar with a certain type of back of the book filler, or back matter is another phrase for things that occur in the back of the book. So another type of back matter is airline information, right? All this routes, you know, movies, what you can get from the drink cart, you know, different news about where the airline is expanding, those little maps of how to get to your gate and different terminals. That's another type of back matter that you see very commonly in airline magazines. But it's not the only thing. And consumer magazines actually tend to have a lot of back matter that comes after the features as well. Some other back matter that you see that doesn't matter, pardon the pun, but a different type of thing that doesn't really concern us is that there's often these types of business listings that I believe Elizabeth mentioned before, where they talk about, you know, different businesses in a different area, or airline magazines often have this, Lonely Planet also has it, where they just kind of have these city guides that are pulled straight out of, you know, various stock things where they say, like, Stockholm, here's what to see in spring, or, you know, like, Stockholm has this many people, it's an archipelago, it's a capital city, it dates back to blah, blah, blah. That type of back matter, those kind of listing type things are sometimes written by freelancers. They tend to be written in-house, or like in the case of Lonely Planet, stolen from existing content. So those also don't concern us. But the type of back matter that does matter, especially for our discussion of business profiles right now, is the editorial. And it's a section or of the magazine, the whole back of the section, that writers often overlook, okay? And they overlook it because you kind of forget that there's other things there. So I encourage you, especially after this webinar today on business profiles, to start to be really attentive of all of the stuff that's not junk, you know, that actually matters, that comes after the features, okay? Because it's very common to notice the back page. There's often like a kind of cover story like thing where there's a big photo and then just a little blurb about it that's really eye-catching on the last page of the magazine. But there's other things that come before that that are still part of that back matter section. And a lot of business profiles factor into that. And especially in airline magazines, this is often where they live. Like, they might have a whole section of like 12 business profiles that's just all stuffed in the back of the book in that part of the magazine. And this is definitely something that came up with one of the magazines that I'm going to share with you guys, that I'm pretty sure is the Brussels Airways magazine, that they've got big features, they've got some short newsy and calendar things, and then at the end there's just like 12 solid pages of profiles. And this is not uncommon at all. So these are some different places, different parts of the magazines that you would see business profiles in, different ways that they iterate in terms of what they look like in real life. So let's get more into how they look on the page. So for those of you that weren't with us last week with the trend piece, I've noticed some other people trickling in. So I had asked earlier, just for those of you who are joining us late, I had asked earlier, anybody who has attended one of the past webinars in this series on article nuts and bolts, just let me know now that you've joined us in the chat box, which prior ones in this series that you've caught, because they're starting to really build on one another. So for those of you that were here last week for the trend piece, you'll recognize this, and we talked about this a lot, but I want to take another look at it and talk about how this trend piece structure translates to business profiles. Because as you may have noticed that I said over here on this other slide, a trend piece is in and of itself a type of profile. It's a profile of a trend. It's a profile that of something that is happening. So let's look at this. So they often lead with a quote, preferably an anecdote about the trend out in the world, like an iteration of that trend, you know, whether it's a person who has experienced it, or somebody observing it, or someone who owns a company that practices that trend. And then they expand on other instances when that occurs to say, this isn't just a one-off thing. It's not just this one person. This is happening everywhere. So once that's happened, then it starts to get into more data to say, it's not even just these three instances. Here is, you know, factual information by authoritative sources that say that this trend is happening. And then once they've established that this is a thing, they go back into telling you how it became a thing. So you alternate between kind of the now and the background information, okay? And then they get into more now after they give you the background of the thing. They give you different examples of that trend out in the wild. And then they take it to the next step. They explain the broader significance of a trend. So let's look at how this works at business profiles, okay? In business profiles, that structure that we looked at before isn't flipped on its head or changed completely or anything like that. It just revolves very solidly and singularly about the why. So what that means is that in this last one about trends, you know, we talked about other instances, you know, more features. We talked about the origin. None of this about the whole business matters. We don't care in these business profiles about the entire backstory of the business. We don't care about every service that the business offers. We don't care about statistics about how many sales the business has and all of these things, unless it ties in with the why. So what is the why? So if you've taken any of our IDEA or Pitchapalooza programs online or in person, you've heard me talk a lot about this. The why is really the key that separates pitches that get, you know, a proper or a second look from pitches that don't. So the why here is not the time peg. I try not to use that word because I find it's really confusing to people, this whole time peg concept. So forget time pegs. Forget anybody ever told you about time pegs. Forget about needing a time peg. Forget about trying to find a time peg. None of that matters. It's not that it doesn't matter because you don't need to show the editor that this piece needs to be published now. It's that it's not about or not always about or not specifically about or it's not helpful to think about it as something that just has to be about being timely, okay? It's much more about giving the editor and giving her reader a reason that they are interested in this thing. And that's usually not going to be an anniversary. It's not always even going to be that the thing is new. That's not really the why. Like, I live in New York and I used to live in Boston. And if you compare the size of the cities just by population, you're looking at least, you know, 10 to 20 times bigger, depending on what population metric that you use. So in Boston, when a new restaurant opened in downtown, we cared. We all cared. We wanted to know. We wanted to go. You know, there was going to be a line. You want to know if it was worth going. Here, new stuff opens all the time, and I have absolutely no clue or care, even if it's opening, you know, just down the block across the street from me, because there's so many new things opening. For me to care about something specific that's opening that's new, it has to be pertinent to me, right? It has to be not just that a coffee shop has opened. It has to be that it is a coffee shop that has good coffee, that has good food, that food is both sweet and savory, that it's easy to take to go if I'm on the way to the airport, that it's a nice place to sit, that the baristas aren't like horrible, annoying people that will ruin my day by being bratty. Like, it has to have all of these things for me to even care. So this is the level of kind of specificity that we need to think about in terms of this why. So this is why, sorry to reuse the word, but this is the reason that we can write so many different business profiles about just one business for all sorts of different markets, because that why should be so narrow, not the business profile, like not the scope of the business, whatever, just that why should be so narrow that it is a perfect fit. It is a perfect head nod. It is a perfect, of course, this is right for my magazine pitch. And so what that means is that you need to not just be clear about what is interesting about the business that you want to pitch, that you want to profile, but you need to be clear about the audience of the magazine that you are pitching and why this matters to them. So you're going to see when we get to the examples that I've picked a couple things from Oryx, which I'm blanking at this moment. I'll have to double check, but I'm pretty sure is the in-flight magazine for Qatar Airways, but I'm going to check that, or Qatar Airways. And you'll notice that one of the profiles that I picked has a very specific Middle Eastern slant to it. Could you pitch something that's that same topic, that exact same story, but not either about a person of Middle Eastern origin or something happened in the Middle East? Probably not, because it's not going to matter as much to those readers. So this is the reality of why a lot of business profile pitches fail, or people aren't able to conceptualize them in the first place, is that they're just not clear on the why of the story. And what happens is that, we'll talk more about how to pitch these and after we look at the examples, okay? But what happens is that editors can spot that from a mile away, that you don't know what the story is, that you don't know what's interesting. And what's happening, I'm seeing a lot of pitch rejections that are coming back and being about this, that the writer isn't clear, that the writer isn't sure, that they don't know what their story is about. And if you don't know what the story is about, there's no way you can know if it's interesting to the magazine's audience or not. And understanding a magazine's audience is the absolute number one thing that editors ask freelancers to do. Any panel with editors ever, any conference where there's writers, the first thing that they said is, get to know my magazine. Please do not pitch me things unless you understand my magazine. And people often ask me, well, how many articles do I need to read before I pitch? None. You don't need to read tons of articles. You don't need to read entire issues or multiple issues. You just need to be very clear about who that audience is. And you can do it in the database. You can do it by just analyzing one article, like we do a lot as an exercise. You can do it in a lot of different ways. The enough gauge is only as high as the amount of time it takes you to really understand the people, the person, a single persona, and what they care about that reads this magazine. We've got a whole week of exercises on that in IdeaFest, just around analyzing one article so that you can really understand how that tells you about the audience of a specific magazine, okay? So this why, right? It has to be interesting. It has to be interesting specifically to the audience of that magazine. And this is the cornerstone of the entire business profile. So you'll see, I basically took that thing that we looked at before, two slides back, for trend pieces. This is the structure of trend pieces that we talked all about last week. And I haven't just, you know, replaced a couple words, but we basically take out everything but the trend and we make it all about the why. So we lead with a quote, preferably an anecdote, about the why of this business. The why is this interesting to you? Why do you care about this? Why does this matter? Then we explain about why this why is important to the reader in a larger context. And sometimes that's clear right away from the quote, and sometimes it's just clear kind of because it's like a hot issue. So somebody that I coach had pitched this incredibly salacious, kind of scandalous story, not salacious in a sexual way, but just it's like a huge, huge, huge scandal. And she pitched it somewhere and the editor wrote back and she was like, whoa, has this really not been covered? And so there's times when your why on its own is just so hot, it's so clear that you don't really need either in your pitch or in your piece to explain why it's important in a larger context. But then you're going to move on into either numeric data or examples of how the business implements this why. So you're going to show. So first we show with, you know, a quote or an anecdote, something like that. Then we tell why it's important. And then we move back into showing how the business does this. And then there's typically another interjection there that goes from, you know, the microcosm back to the macrocosm, which is either a quote from the business owner or some additional context. And then they move on to more examples. And these examples can be from that same company, but sometimes these examples, this example section, is examples of other things that other companies are doing that are similar. It could be other things that that company is doing that are also interesting. When we looked in the, I believe it was in the front of book roundup section, we had an example that we looked at, which was Jose Andres, who's a big chef in DC. But the piece that we looked at said nothing whatsoever about his restaurants. It was specifically a piece called My Favorite Street, where he's detailing the different things that he likes on the street where a lot of his restaurants are located. So he was telling you about other businesses that he likes. But in the introduction, it was so narrow. They didn't tell you how many restaurants he had or how famous he is or what awards he had done. All they talked about was his recent aid work in Puerto Rico and how many people he had sent down there and how many meals they had served to different people in Puerto Rico. And when they expanded, they only talked about aid work he had done in other places, because that why for why he was being featured that month, why you cared about Jose Andres' favorite street in DC, was all about his aid work with Puerto Rico. It was all tied into Puerto Rico, but, and you know, it was kind of new because it was his aid work with Puerto Rico specifically, but the things that they touched on as the greater examples were his other aid work. So that's what I mean when I say this stuff gets really, really narrow, okay? And then just at the end there, you touch on the broader significance of that why, which can be for that business, where that business is going next, other ways that that matters to the reader, or, you know, the broader significance tying into other examples of this in the industry in terms of where this, you know, tip of the spear trend or proto trend, as I said, where that's going. So let's start to look at a couple examples. I think that they're big enough, at least these short ones that we started with, that these are big enough that you can see them here on the screen like this. But if not, I'll switch over to the non-slide view where we can zoom in a little bit. So just take a look at this and I'll read it and we'll analyze it together. So I saw this and I was like, oh, great. I saw it in the table of contents and I thought this is a great little profile. And you'll notice this is a bit more of a product profile. And I told you we were going to talk about business profiles as differentiates from profiles of people and profiles of product. And so I wanted to show you a couple different examples and how they're all a bit similar, even though we're mainly talking about business profiles today. So this is specifically a product profile. And this is, like I said, from Brussels Airways, which in the back of the magazine just has a ton of profiles. And when I saw this, I just laughed so hard because it is something, an environmentally friendly sunscreen that I have seen a couple other places and I found completely didn't work. And when my husband and I were on our 5-year anniversary trip in Greece, we got sunburned so badly we couldn't go back. We couldn't go outside again during our trip for like 3 or 4 days because this environmentally friendly sunscreen did not work at all, even though we had reapplied it several times. So not the one that's being referenced here in the piece that we're all looking at today, but this other one that we had tried. So I bet you that this one is doing something quite different than your average, you know, Aveda or wherever you see a sunscreen that is, you know, completely eco smart. So here's what the piece says. Slip Slap Smart. London scientists believe seaweed could form the basis of the first environmentally friendly sunscreen. The importance of sunscreen isn't going to diminish anytime soon, yet its molecules have been detected in fish and dolphins, suggesting it's damaging our marine and coral life. So what they're saying is a totally different take, which is really interesting, that you and I, we are all using sunscreen when we go on vacation and then we're going swimming, right? And that sunscreen is getting in the water and negatively affecting all of those marine animals that we're there to see in the first place. So that's the why. It's very cool. It's very different. And the readers of this magazine would be interested in that why, okay? So it's why scientists at King's College London are working to develop a new environmentally friendly version made from seaweed extract. Having observed organisms living in sunny, shallow water, the team extracted a substance called palethine from seaweed and tested on human skin cells. They found the antioxidant absorbs harmful rays from the sun and can protect skin against potentially carcinogenic damage, just as man-made sunscreen does. Quote, products with nature sunscreen may encourage greater use because there's a growing public demand for natural products, says Dr. Carl Lawrence from St. John's Institute of Dermatology at King's College, who is working on the natural sunscreen. Seaweed-derived sunscreens in tune with nature could be beneficial for both human health and marine life. So like I said, this is super tiny in a product profile, but I wanted to use it to start so we can look at the structure because it's very nice and short. So lead with a quote, preferably an anecdote about the why of this business. Something that we noticed last week when we were talking about trends is that often when the piece is really short, they eschew that quote and they just get right into this first part, which is telling you what the why is and explaining why it's important in a larger context. So this does that very clearly. So they tell you that environmentally friendly sunscreen to the environment, not just to you, is important because the sunscreen we're using now is damaging our marine and coral life. and that scientists are working to develop a new one. So we know the what and the why. And now we are getting into the how, as in like what they're doing and how they're doing it, which is what we look at here. I don't know how to make you see where I move my mouse over it, but this is the moving into data and examples of how the business implements, right? So they're telling you that King's College London is working on it. They're saying how they got the idea, what they did. They extracted this specific substance, they tested it, and what they found. Okay, so that's moving through how they implemented it and the quote or context. And then we get, into this quote. And the quote is accomplishing several of these tasks as well. And you'll see this is a very short piece. It's about maybe 125 words. So it does all of this very quickly. And we're going to look at this in some longer settings as well. So the quote explains the impact of what they've done. And then it takes it larger, right? So they're saying that their research finding this might not only be good for the environment, but it might also be good for industry because there's a growing demand for this. So it's really a win-win-win for everyone. It's a win for the environment, for businesses, and for users. Okay, so let's look at the next one. So this one is, I'm pretty sure this one is also from Brussels Airways. Yep, because we see that same thing at the bottom. So this is also from Brussels Airways section. And I see this one's a little bit harder to read here on the screen. So let me flip over to the PDF view so that we can see it there. But I gotta find that one. Let's see. Oh, got it, I believe. Yep, okay, great. Okay, let me flip over to that one for you. And like I said, they've just got tons and tons of these back here. They just go on for pages. And this section is called Business Digest. And it says it's innovators and news from around the globe. So this is a ski one we're going to look at right now. There's another one on a convenience store. Here's that sunscreen one that we looked at before. And then they specifically have one on Africa as well that they go into. So like I said, Brussels Airways is a great source for these. So, okay, so let's look at the ski one that I had pulled up for you guys. Okay, so it begins. It was a search for the perfect pair of skis and failure to locate them that made skilled carpenter, architect, and ski nut Florian Kobecker start designing and making his own. Yet it wasn't until 2006 when the German's architecture firm, Kohlbecker Black Forest Architects, started designing a ski resort and jump in Sochi way ahead of the 2014 Winter Olympics that Kohlbecker got a proper taste of the ski industry and decided he wanted in. So in 2008, he founded Black Forest Skis, a company that combines traditional design with cutting edge technology, and he hasn't looked back since. So what have they done here? So I'm not able to flip back and forth between the different slides for you now. So I'm going to kind of just pull them up on my own on the side so I can walk through these with you. So as we talked about, they are starting with an anecdote or a quote. And in this case, it's an anecdote. It's that this guy, Florian Kohlbecker, himself was looking for the perfect pair of skis and couldn't find them. So he made his own. And then it goes on, right, that he has his own architecture firm, and they were already getting into building things in Sochi for the Olympics when he decided that he wanted to switch gears entirely from architecture into building these skis, not just for himself, but for other people. So the why here is that people who want to find the perfect pair of skis previously had no way to do it and might have been trying to make it on their own, but now they have an outlet. Now, if you want the perfect pair of skis, you too can get them from Black Forest Skis. So then we'll go on, and the article goes on to expand on other instances and talk about how the company does exactly this. So let's look at that. So based in Gaggenau, Kohlbecker's German hometown, a few hours west of Nuremberg, the pieces, all designed by the architect, are made from 100% white ash wood due to its durability and individually handcrafted to ensure, quote, that every pair is one of a kind. Construction starts in workshops in the Czech Republic before the skis are returned to the Black Forest Ski Office to be oiled, bound, mounted, engraved, and personally checked by Kohlbecker. The whole cycle takes up to 4 months to complete, with the skis retailing at around 800 euros per pair. quote, we use only the best materials. So the best stained glass steel for the edges, the best carbon and glass fiber for the top and base, he says. It's only possible to work this way when you have a small production system. So he's moved right into that quote like I talked about. So this whole portion in the middle here, hopefully you can see me moving my mouse over the screen, is going through exactly everything that we were talking about in terms of the format, is that they move into the specific data and details, an example of how this business implements this thing. So the why here is that you are getting a handcrafted perfect fit ski, right? That's the why. That you, there's now an option for you to get a ski that's designed specifically for you. So when they talk about the detail of their process here, everything relates back to it. Everything relates back to how every pair is one of a kind. They tell you specifically the steps to show you the work that is going into making this ski just for you, that it takes up to 4 months because it's so specific, because it's so individualized. And they show that not only are you getting the best thing because it's designed specifically for you, but they're also using the best materials. And that's where they incorporate a quote, which as I had in the format that we walked through earlier, that's where it typically goes in. So then they move on to the more examples, right? And end with touching on the broader significance of the why. So let's look at that. Indeed, it's a bespoke business with Kohlbecker assembling just 125 pairs of commercial skis per year. The rest of his business comes from private requests, such as professional skiers wanting a custom designed product they deem to be better than high street ski brands. Quote, it's all about craftsmanship rather than commerce, Kohlbecker maintains, adding that he enjoys spending time with his clients to work out what exactly they want and is happy to cater to their wildest whims. Quote, mountaineering has become a lifestyle, and the idea of having perfect material for your hobby combined with the beauty of nature makes it very appealing. This is the broader significance, right? It's, you know, it's following that format perfectly. And I really, really love this one. And if you want to check it out, like I said, this comes from Be Inspired magazine, and it's from the February 2018 issue. And this, I'll tell you what page it is also. This is just a picture perfect example of this format that we've been talking about. Let me get the page for you. Oh, it's the first one in this Business Digest section, but I can't, and it's page 74 of the PDF. So this is just a picture perfect example of this, from the placement of the quotes to, you know, the quote about the broader significance, right? Like, this is so great. You know, we're talking about how now you can get the ski that's crafted exactly just for you, but he makes it bigger. The writer takes it to that next level by saying that mountaineering is a lifestyle, and the idea of having that perfect material with the beauty of nature just takes it to the next level, right? And that quote takes the piece to the next level. So this is just such a great example of this form, and I was really excited to find this. It seems like when I switched screens, I had to reset up the webinar for some very strange reason. So you guys should be hearing me now. Let me know in the chat box if you can hear me. And we've got the slides back up as well. So let me know that you're hearing me. And in the meantime, I'm going to take a look at this question from Lisa that came in. So Lisa asked, I feel like every trend out there is something that's been going on a while, and I missed its entry into the world. How do you stay on top of those new things? How do you know? Like, how would you know about this guy who makes these unique skis? So for Lisa's question, I would definitely recommend listening to the webinar about trend pieces that we did last week, because I talked a lot about both how to find these trends and where to read about them, as well as, you know, the fact that they are often things that have been going on in the world for a while. But I want to talk about what she said right here about how would you know about the guy that makes these unique skis, right? So you don't know about this guy, but you know about the person who makes soaps using goat milk from their goats that they also use for wool and makes these cool covers that they put on the soap that allow you to essentially have a loofah with a built-in soap because you met that person on a press trip and you were walking through the store where they sell their wool and you saw these things and you asked about them. And then you found out about this cool product and then you could write a profile about that product. So you won't know about this guy with the skis, but Lisa's in Kentucky and she travels in the South a lot and she has a master's in European history. You'll know about things that you read about in your research on Europe or that you found going around your town or other places nearby. You'll know about the ones near you. And so what happens is that you don't need to know about the same ones that editors sitting in their glass towers in New York know about because they already know about those. You need to know about this guy who sells very, very few skis and is based in this little place outside of Nuremberg. You need to know about the people like that that editors would never come in contact with. And then you need to know how to take what they're doing and turn it into an article. And that's all about focusing on this why. And that why is all about what is unique about what they're doing. And a business can be doing several different unique things. So we visited this alpaca farm when we were doing the freelance boot camp. And every time we visit a place like that, I always just see so many different things that they're doing that could be different profiles for different markets. And so I want to use this one as an example. So that soap thing that I mentioned, that's something that they had done. Okay. So that was just something that we noticed in their store that somebody asked some questions about, which right there, that could be a product profile. Okay. For, you know, a magazine for beauty or family or any sort of different stuff like that. But then the fact that they had this shop that was so beautiful, it looked like it should be in Soho or something. It was so well curated. They had really amazing products. That's something that you could do a business profile on for all sorts of settings about how they are able to attract a different type of customer to something that's essentially a farm visit and a farm stand that you usually think of being very rustic by having this store. And you would include quotes from them about how they source their different things, you know, how they got that idea, what type of customers they get, things like that. But in the meantime, that's just, you know, some articles that you could do about what you saw in the store, right? There's all sorts of other profiles that you could do on about what we learned when we were up there at the farm itself. So for instance, they have these alpacas that they use for wool, but they also show them, they take them to a lot of contests. And this is something that you could do as a profile for a business magazine about how even if it feels like investing your time and resources is a brand new business, this business I think is barely even five years old, in getting very big awards, even if that feels like it's sideways to the fundamental marketing that you need to be doing as a new business, it can pay off hugely. So that's the message, that's the why, but you're using this alpaca farm as a profile to show that. So that's just one of the, you know, or like three of the different types of profiles that we can get out of that. But I want to get to the other slides, so I don't want to take too long on that. Jade asks a question, is there a general rule for how close to an airport city these businesses need to be? That's a great question. There's no rule. It's different for every section. It's not even just different for every magazine. I've had a bunch of people who are pitching the very sweet editor who I encourage you to all pitch. She's really lovely at, it's called Kara or Cara, the magazine for Aer Lingus. She is really, really lovely and gets back to everybody. And so I've gotten a bunch of information about this for her magazine specifically. So that's why I'm using her to use as an example for this question that Jade has asked. So she has most of her sections need to be not only about a city that the magazine, that the magazine's airline, in this case Aer Lingus, flies to, but they need to be about something that literally Aer Lingus flies to on the planes that Aer Lingus owns. So not that Aer Lingus is code share partner, so flights that to you would look like Aer Lingus flies to. So other magazines are more lenient that they'll also cover places that their partner airlines fly to on a code share flight that you can purchase through United or Scandinavian Airlines or something like that. But Aer Lingus isn't. And there's a couple sections where they can cover cities that they don't fly to directly. But other magazines, like this one that we just looked at about Brussels Airways, I doubt Brussels Airways flies to Gaggenau. But the fact that they say that it's a few hours west of Nuremberg makes me think that they probably fly to Nuremberg. But with a business profile, it's a little different because if you can buy that thing or you can learn from that business or hear about that business in other ways, like online or something like that, it's less important for the editor that is accessible to all of her readers. So there isn't a hard and fast rule. It's very different for every magazine, but there's more leeway with a business profile than a city guide is kind of the moral of that story. Okay, so since we're already over time, and we had this little interruption, I just want to get back to looking for you guys at how this plays out with a couple different types of magazines. So this is from Oryx, which is that Qatar Airways magazine that I had mentioned. And this is something where it is a sort of individual profile. It's a little bit about her business. And so I wanted to show you how this is different when it's an individual, but talking about the individual's business. So it says, Hope in a Bottle. When Avisel Diaz's childhood dream to study Arabic in the Middle East began to drift out of reach, she put a clever idea into action. Avisel Diaz is proof that with a little determination, dreams come true. The 20-year-old from Miami, USA, first fell in love with Arabic culture at school and made it her mission to study in the Middle East. I read books and watched film, and my curiosity grew, she says. A documentary about the late King Hussein of Jordan introduced her to King's Academy, a school based in Madaba, the city of mosaics in Jordan. I knew it was exactly where I wanted to be. The one problem, however, quote, my parents supported my dreams but couldn't afford the tuition fees. Even when the institution reduced its fees, her goal remained out of reach. Diaz contacted hundreds of large companies worldwide asking for financial support, but nobody offered their help. It was frustrating, she says. No one seemed to understand my passion to learn about Arabic culture. Then came her light bulb moment. She'd throw 100 glass bottles, hand-painted with a Madaba-inspired mosaic design, into the Atlantic Ocean with a message inside asking for help. I felt like I was stranded on a desert island and my dreams needed rescuing, she said. Her story was picked up by Miami Herald, and both an anonymous individual in Jordan and Qatar Foundation International, a global body dedicated to Arabic language and culture, offered to fund her. They were moved by my determination, she said. I was overjoyed. One of her bottles is now on permanent display at King's Academy as a reminder that dreams come true, says Diaz, who is now studying at Georgetown University in the U.S. and has just completed a semester in Doha. I'm eternally grateful for the generosity of the Qatari people. They made my dream come true. So this is one of these things where it is a profile and it is about something that, you know, in this case, she's young and she's trying to go to school, right? So her business is education. So this is kind of like a sideways thing. And I already mentioned that this is an example of how an individual profile and that business kind of thing interplay, where you're talking about somebody's life work in an individual profile and those two things kind of combine. And so you'll see that when it's more about the person or the founder that's at the center of this business or life's work, as it were, that there's a lot more quotes, and B, there's a lot more narrative, which happens very naturally because you're telling the lead up, the story of how the person accomplished something. But you'll still see that it starts, you know, with the why here to us might not be so obvious, right? But this is something that's very fundamental for a Middle Eastern readership, that people from the U.S. so desperately want to learn about Arabic culture that they're doing these crazy things. That's the why here, that her dream to learn about Arabic culture was so great. Okay, so that's the why. And you see it, you know, kind of spelled out. And then we've got that quote from her. And then we go into that step by step. How does it happen? How did she do it? And of course, right at the end of that, we have that quote that, you know, always ends up in that spot. I felt like I was stranded on a desert island and my dreams needed rescuing. Then we have the bigger picture. What are the next steps? How does it expand past just her? Her story was picked up. It talks about the people who funded her. And then it goes on to that bigger picture, which is that what seemed to her, you know, as an individual mission now is on display at King's Academy, which is not even where she went, right? It's a place in Jordan, and she went to school in Doha, and you know, she's at Qatar, or now she's in now she's at Georgetown. But her dream is continuing to inspire others because it's on display in the King's Academy. So that's where that steps out into something greater. So I mentioned that we have we talked last week about trend pieces. There's three kind of different types of profiles. There's the product, the business, and the individual. And this is kind of how they all played out. I wanted to show you a short example of each of them. But this next one, and I'm going to kind of show it to you, but we're not going to go too much into it, is I call it short-ish. This is a short one that we're just not going to look at. Sorry, this is the beginning. Okay, so this one, I've got three slides, which is a short-ish profile. Okay, this is of a aquarium, which is in Grand Canary. Okay, and I was right, it's these three, not the prior one. So this is an aquarium in Grand Canary. And as you'll see, this is probably going to be more like 1,000 words, this piece. And there's a lot of images that I cut out so that we could kind of see it here on the screen. But this is really a straight business profile, and it's one single attraction, okay? So it's one aquarium. And like I said, it's not just enough that something is new. You often go to things that are new and then say, I still don't know what to write about this just because it's new, right? You need that why also. So here, what's the angle on this, or what's the why? She meets snorri sharks and wayward shellfish. So the why here is that this new aquarium, through their different new conservation efforts, is shaking up. It's changing the perception people have of how animals live and how you can visit them in a museum. So the very first line is, the scene unfolds as though in slow motion. So we're starting with that very typical anecdote here, right? And then we've got this quote, which is from her. Does this kind of thing happen a lot, she asks. So this anecdote that's happening is something that plays right into that why. It plays into things that she doesn't expect happen in a museum. Okay, and then the museum's curator arches an eyebrow in response. Okay, she then goes into these details, the details about the size of the aquarium, what they've changed, how conservation became the top of the agenda. She's showing you the how. Okay, and then there it is, just as it always is, that quote. This quote is from the vice president of the company that founded it, and he's talking about how they've changed it and why they've changed it into this interesting conservation angle. And then it goes back into those details. Before we can save the rest of the ocean, however, we need to return the runaway safely to his digs. So it goes into more details about how they're interacting with this particular fish. Then it starts to talk about a crocodile. Then she said, around another bend, she's seen the world's biggest curved aquarium window. So she's got three different things. Things always come in threes, right? Three different examples of other animals that she's seeing. And then we're going to start going out. We're going to start going out into the larger implications. It's all well and good gaping, but I want to know what it takes to realize an aquarium of this scale. How do all of the different species arrive on the island, and how do they get on, right? So now she's going to a bigger level, and she talks about that, about how they source and choose the fish. And then at the end, we get that bigger picture. As I head for the exit, I pass my sideways walking friend on his constitutional again, clad in his snazziest shell suit. If he carries on like this, he might just pull a muscle. Bad pun, right? But this is to show you that, you know, the whole point of this piece is that museums like this, or not museums, rather, aquariums like this make you rethink what the lives of marine animals are like. And here she's gone full circle, right? She's like completely personified this crab and makes you, the reader, now imagine all of the animals, all the marine life that you're seeing in your aquariums as people that you're seeing walking down the street. So this is a piece from EasyJet magazine, if you're interested in looking it up later, again, from the February issue. So we had two really classic business profiles that I looked at, and we already took a sneak peek at this piece, so I don't want to tell you about it too much, but it's something that you can also check out. This is also from the February EasyJet issue, which is available online, and I'll grab that link for you if you're interested in looking this up later. So this other one, this Welcome to the Hotel of Weird, this is one of those hybrids that I was telling you about, which is a feature that has a quest narrative format. And that other one that I just showed you that also had a bit of a quest approach, but the format became a business profile, right? So this next one with the weird Japanese hotels, like I said, this is from EasyJet, and I'm gonna pop that in the box for you. You can find it here if you wanna read the whole piece. So This is one where they're really profiling this tip of the spear thing. They're profiling this high-tech hotel, but they're doing it in the guise of a writer being on a quest. And the point, the why is, if you're going to Japan, where would you rather stay? Would you rather stay in a high-tech hotel or a traditional ryokan? And she's figuring that out for you. That's the why of this piece. And you can check out that full feature there in EasyJet if you're interested in looking at that. So let's just look quickly at the pitching process of these pieces. So in case it wasn't clear, I'll say it one more time. It's all about the why. You can literally send a one sentence pitch about these businesses. You know, as long as you have a why that pops, and what I mean by pops is a why that immediately goes ding, 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 ding to that editor that this is exactly something that her audience would be interested in. So what that means is that as you're out, as you're listening, as you're perusing the internet, you know, whatever way you're pulling in information, that you want to be on the lookout, not just for places, not for things, not for history, but for those fascinating little sentences, because those are the quotes that go in that piece in your pitch, and those are the linchpins of these business profiles. It's not about the business. You can't write about the business unless they're doing something that's fascinating to the audience of a specific magazine. Well, what that means is it's also how you take a place that's been around forever, like the Alcatraz Museum. In a recent event, somebody asked me, they found a feature on Alcatraz, and they were like, I just don't understand why this person got to write this whole feature on Alcatraz that's been around forever. Why did they get to write this? Like, why is it here? And this is why, because they've pinpointed something that's just so uniquely fascinating to the readers of that magazine. So Jade asked a question which we've touched on in a couple of past webinars as well. Do you need to reach out to business owners to interview before pitching? No. If you're writing a piece where you could be interviewing a lot of different people, you don't need to interview the owner, or you can interview somebody who works there, or a customer, a lot of different things. You don't need to secure that interview before your piece. And it's usually better if you want to do a profile to get the assignment and then contact the business once you have the assignment, even if it's something big. I've done a lot of pieces about casinos. Casinos really are accustomed to thinking that every bit of press is bad press, and it's really hard to get them on the phone. But when you have a story, you can always, always get people. So thank you guys so much for bearing with me. I know we had that little interruption in between and we went a little long, but we covered a lot of different types of articles that you guys will be seeing in magazines, and hopefully soon, if you're not already, writing in magazines. So I hope you guys got a lot out of this. So have a really great weekend, you guys, and I'll see you soon.